is going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, right here on Game Plus Network, presented by SoRare, a new fantasy game where you can collect digital fantasy cards in the NBA, on the pitch, in soccer, and use those players into contests to win cash. Check out SoRare.com. We have a link inside the description of this video. Chris Meany here with you on this Monday. Hopefully everybody had a fantastic weekend. It's an exciting time. You guys know I've always been talking about the month of March, just a fantastic sports month, and it all gets underway this weekend. I mean, yesterday it kind of got underway for me as a sports fan with the Players Championship, but man, Scottie Scheffler, he cruised through the entire field. He looked fantastic. He's been the best golfer in the world over the last couple of years, and he was certainly on point yesterday. But it all starts this week. Yesterday, last night, we had the March Madness bracket reveal. We have all kinds of great content, and it's going to come your way, a ton of content on our FTN Network YouTube page, over at FTNBets.com, FTNDaily.com, FTNFantasy.com. And of course, we're running three-day trials for free over at FTN Bets and FTN Daily. So it's a good time to kind of get in, get your feet wet, see what we have to offer. We're going to have all kinds of college picks over the first couple of rounds. So you can sign up, check it out for free. You get the 3 days there. You can read all the content. We're going to have region breakdowns. We're going to have DFS picks. We got optimizers in the NBA. MLB is like basically here. That's exciting. The World Baseball Classic over the weekend. That was fantastic. How about that Team Canada versus Great Britain? I mean, nobody could pitch. It's like 50 hits, 75 runs scored. It was highly entertaining. Team USA got spanked last night. That was interesting. But yeah, we got a lot here happening in the month of March. So the College Basketball Super Show with Walter Riddell, he was live last night on our FTN Network YouTube page, just giving you guys a good feel, like his first initial take on the bracket reveal going through that. Of course, we have the College Basketball Show via Mike Randall. And he's going to go live today to give same sort of deal, give you the feel of the Madness tournament. You get the 4-1 seeds here, Bama number one overall, Kansas, Purdue, and Houston. And my Jayhawks, they're in a tough spot, right? They're in a region with Gonzaga, UCLA. It's going to be a very tough path. And I think that they have the toughest path out of all the number one seeds. I feel like, yikes. But I'm not the college basketball expert. Tomorrow we'll have Mike Randall on. Today we have Michael Govier of FTN. He's going to drop by here in just a little bit. We'll talk the top of the board when it comes to March Madness. We got some odds to win the tournament. So we'll go through that, get his feel if there's a team or two that he likes. Of course, it's just the early stages of the Madness tournament. We will have it all for you this week. And Randall and I are going to go through all the regions, and we're going to talk about our favorite picks and get some upset picks and things like that. But if you are subscribed to our FTN Network YouTube page, please do so. Subscribe, smash the like button on this video, and check out all the college basketball content that's going to come your way this week. Exciting times. I love the Madness tournament, so it should be really, really fun to get into all of that with Govier and with Mike Randall. And I hope to have Walter Riddell on the show as well. He came on last year, and he was him and Mike Kuchary. These guys are just hot fire with their picks and with some DFS plays and props. So going to hopefully have those guys on this week as well. Exciting times. It really is exciting times because today is NFL free agency as well. That's also very exciting. And over the weekend, we had some massive trades in the NFL, and it started with the Chicago Bears. I got to do my mock all over again, but two things that we talked about on this show. When we gave the mock, it was like 1.0. We had no trades, but we talked about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. We knew the Bears were going to trade out of that one spot. You can go all the way back before the Super Bowl was even won by the Kansas City Chiefs. We had Brian Cook on the show, and we talked about Chicago being in such a good spot with Justin Fields, so much cap space, a team that's going to trade back, get some assets, and get a number one wide receiver. And boy, did they ever do that. This was a really good trade by Chicago. They ended up getting the number 9 pick. So you see there, Carolina jumps up to 1, and then Chicago moves down to 9. They also got a second pick, second round pick, pick number 66, a 2024 first rounder, and a 2025 second rounder. And DJ Moore, If you go back to 2019, he has the seventh most receiving yards among wide receivers. He's one of my favorite wide receivers in the game. Now, he hasn't been all that great when it comes to touchdowns. For example, like Devontae Adams leads everybody in receiving yards since 2019, and I think he's got like over 40 touchdowns. And over that time span, DJ Moore's got like 19. So he's not a big touchdown guy, but I already hear the noise about Justin Fields. Just stop it. I don't understand how everybody could just be so quick. Well, he can't pass, so now DJ Moore is going to another brutal quarterback. Let's relax with that. This is nonsense. I heard the same crap last year when it came to Jalen Hurts. I heard the same thing. Jalen Hurts can't pass. He's not accurate. Oh, they go get AJ Brown. What happened? Jalen Hurts was on his way to winning the MVP before he suffered the injury. Him and Devontae Smith, they were fantastic. The same noise with Josh Allen. The same thing. I heard it all. Josh Allen can't pass. Coming out of college, he wasn't accurate at all. This guy was brutal when it came to accuracy in his first year in the NFL. Awful. Second year, little bit of progress. What happened? Brian Daboll, bring in Stephon Diggs, bring in Cole Beasley, surround him with talented wide receivers. This is what DJ Moore is. Darnell Mooney's not a one. He's a great two. And Claypool, yeah, maybe we'll look back and the rookie season is an outlier, but all of a sudden he's got three wide receivers on that squad that are what, all 25 or younger that have had 1,000 yards in the NFL resume already. So that is a good get for Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears. I thought they did fantastic. As for Carolina, who are they going to get? On this show, on the Monday after the combine, when everybody was talking about Anthony Richardson, we talked about CJ Stroud at 4-1 to be the first quarterback off the board. Now he is minus 300 over at DraftKings to be the number one overall pick. Bryce Young is plus 235. Anthony Richardson is plus 450. Will Levis is 35-1. In the bet tracker we gave on this show, feeling pretty good about it. I don't know what the Panthers are going to do. They say that they'll have 2 months here to prepare and evaluate all the quarterbacks. To me, that's lies. You don't trade all that capital to move up to the one spot just because, you know, you're not set on who you're going to draft. I don't know. I think that they're going to go CJ Stroud, and hopefully we can get that at 4-1. Nice value there, as I mentioned, minus 300 now to be the first quarterback off the board. We will come at you guys with mock version 2 maybe by the end of the week once we see free agency. Again, NFL does it a little bit backwards compared to other sports. They'll have the free agency first and then the draft, but we'll get a decent feel of, you know, which teams are going to be aggressive getting running backs and wide receivers, and then we can get a little bit of a feel of maybe the mindset of some of these teams of what they do in the NFL draft. Man, exciting times. Govier's in here. We're also going to talk about the AL Central. We're going to take a look at the Detroit Tigers, Chicago White Sox. Of course, the Cleveland Guardians are favored. Really seen some line movement when it comes to the Minnesota Twins. About 4 or 5 weeks ago was putting together division odds, pennant odds, World Series odds, win totals, and we've seen a spike in Minnesota. You know, you could have gotten them, for example, I think maybe 50-1 to win the World Series. Now they've jumped up to 35-1. Now, I don't think that they're a World Series squad, but that division is completely wide open, in my opinion, when it comes to Cleveland, Chicago, and the Minnesota Twins. Detroit, not there just yet, but they do have some nice young pieces. I'm excited to talk about Govier, the Prize Picks prop show host. He is in here next. We'll take a quick break. No, Will Levis won't go one. We know that. Will Levis won't go one. If I was to, my guess is CJ Stroud one. I've always been like Young to Houston. Then, you know, what do the Colts do? Colts probably a little bit ticked off thinking that they would get CJ Stroud. They also had to think that somebody was going to trade up to that one spot as well, kind of leapfrog them. So maybe Levis goes 4 potentially to the Colts. And we did have Anthony Richardson going 7 to the Raiders. But also, what else is going to happen? Maybe Arizona trades back, right? Good on the Bears. I love it. I thought they did a fantastic job trading back. Maybe they trade back again. They can take a corner at 9. They can take an offensive lineman. There's still going to be some edge rushers out there as well. So some nice pieces in that draft. And they're going to be inside the top 10. And with all that cap space available to them as well. Good job, Chicago. Love it. I love it. Oh, man. Justin Fields, he's exciting. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves and say that this guy is not going to be good. TJ Edwards, it's already happening. The Eagles are losing pieces left, right, and center. Apparently signs with the Chicago Bears. There you go. The Bears are going to be very, very, very active and already showing us that they are ready to go here in the offseason. Quick break. Michael Govier is in here next. Keep her locked. You're watching Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network, presented by So Rare. Look it, we bring in the GOAT, the 5-tool player himself, Michael Govier, MJ Govier on the Twitter machine. Dude, what a time to be alive. Are you kidding me? March Madness bracket. You got World Baseball Classic in full swing. Baseball fantasy drafts. so much closer to opening day, the push in the NHL and the NBA playoffs. It is all happening, dude. Welcome in, man. How are you?
Oh my God, I'm getting flashbacks hearing that song for 2 minutes straight. Really brings me back. Great to be here, dude. I love it. I'm stoked. It's March Madness, fantasy baseball season, opening day, NFL free agency. We got NBA, right. NHL playoffs will be gearing up soon. It's going to be the penultimate time when we get to the ultimate time of the year very soon.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, check out Govea and all of his work over at FTN and the Prize Picks Prop Show, and you're doing some drafts. I want to get into the draft that you had over the weekend. I want to touch on your strategy and how you're feeling about some of the picks, and we'll get into the AL Central here on this show. You're wearing the Detroit Tigers hoodie on the rise. Going to talk about the Tigers, talk about my White Sox. They're not actually my White Sox, but I have been a sucker for the White Sox over the past couple of years. You know, in DFS, every time there's a southpaw on the hill, they tend to crush lefties, right? Tim Anderson up at the top, Luis Robert's exciting, Eloy Jimenez is exciting, Jose Abreu's gone from the squad, Cease. Like, there's a lot of nice pieces there, but they tend to be a little underwhelming, like in the betting market and when they get to the postseason and things like that. So we'll save.
Yeah, you can't have every team. You can't have every team. By the way, you already got the Angels. Okay, that's enough.
I mean, I need a new squad because the Angels are not getting it done for me. That's for sure. We'll save that talk for a little bit. March Madness. Al, I don't want to walk through the whole bracket with you or get your maybe initial thoughts. We're not going to do that, but I do want to show just the top of the board. This is from DraftKings, the NCAA tournament odds. Of course, we have the 4-1 seeds, Bama, number one overall, Kansas, Purdue, and Houston in there as well. Quan, do you have the March Madness odds that we can show Mr. Michael Govier?
And Quan, what up, Quan? Plus.
There we go. George, give me two. Utah, Houston up at the top, plus 475. Bama, 650. Purdue, 10-1. Kansas, 12-1. Oh my goodness, the region for Kansas, it's tough. UCLA is in there. Gonzaga's in there. UCLA, you see, 12-1. Texas, 14-1. Lost to Texas in the Big 12 championship game there. Zaga at 16-1. Zona at 16-1. UConn at 18-1. Tennessee, Marquette, Baylor at 25-1. Kentucky, 35-1. Duke, also 35-1. Creighton, 40-1. A lot of teams there. TCU included as well. Kansas State at 45-1. A little note, North Carolina, the first team ever to be the number one seed, like heading into the to the season, the preseason number one odds favorite, didn't even get to the dance.
Wow.
Remarkable, right? What do you make of this board? Do you see a tough path for a one seed, a clear path? I know it's still early, but have you taken a look?
Yeah, I've taken a look, of course. I mean, I remember being 11, 12 years old and being so excited about the release of the brackets, and you're not doing any schoolwork all week. You're just filling out brackets all week long before tip-off. And man, I get that same feeling still. It's amazing how it could stick with you all these years later. Last year, I picked Kansas to win it all, and I won a pool. I actually won that pool, and I was thrilled because I never win the NCAA March Madness pool overall. I'll get some good games, right? I'll get some good upsets, Chris, but I never get the winner. So this year, on a Monday right now, it's still a little cloudy. I kind of like Texas plus 1,400 a little bit. I really don't like to pick a team, though, that looks so good through the conference tournament. There's sometimes those teams can just fall flat on their face. But then there's other times teams that look really bad, then they kick butt after struggling in their conference tournament. So you can't really focus on little scenarios like that or variables. I would just say that I like Texas. I kind of like Marquette a little bit at plus 2,500, but I don't know if they can get that far. I bet they get real deep, but I'm not sure they could take it all the way. And then in the end, my gut's telling me right now that Houston is the pick this year. Sometimes it is that simple. And in a year where there's a lot of uncertainty and teams coming and going out of the top 25, Houston was a stalwart. They rarely faltered ever. They've been to the Elite Eight last year, Final Four 2 years ago. It seems like a logical conclusion as well with the 40 years since Phi Slamma Jamma, baby. Back in Houston, the Final Four, there's a lot of stuff that's lining up here that seems like it's destined to happen. So I'm kind of thinking that. I hate to say that right now, but I think Houston's my play as of today.
I love the excitement that you bring all the time. You are just a full tilt all the time, and I absolutely love it, man.
You know what the trick is? I don't talk all day, and then when I get on camera, I let it all out, and then I don't speak the rest of the day. That's the secret. So.
Fair enough. All right. I'll take notes on that as well. Yeah, Kansas, my Jayhawks won it last year as well. It was a little bit of a homer pick for me. You know, no Bill Self over the weekend, but he will be with the squad throughout the tournament, so that is good news not to have their coach against Texas. Kind of, I don't know if that hurt them or not, but you know, it's your leader, and he wasn't there on the sidelines. I do like the Texas call, and you know, Daily Handle seems to agree with you. Great value on Marquette to win it all there at 25-1. He says Zona two in there as well, though we did have a zone on the board, so I don't know, George. We'll see what happens there, but yeah, exciting times again. A lot of content coming your way on our FTN Network YouTube page. We have the College Basketball Show with Walter Riddell. We have the College Betting Basketball Show with Mike Randall. We'll be doing some stuff, some prize picks plays throughout the tournament as well. We'll have some upsets. We'll have all kinds of content for you guys. And as I mentioned off the top of the show, we have the 3 free day trials over at FTNBets.com, FTN Daily. Why not get in? You can read up on all the regional breakdowns and get some early day one, day two picks. And, you know, if you win a little bit of cash, then you hang out with us for the rest of the tournament, right? So we'll see if we can reel you on in. Let's switch gears just a little bit. I didn't think I was going to do any NFL talk with you, but since you are the 5-tool man, you cover a lot of sports. What do you think of the massive trade between Carolina and Chicago? My goodness. And then Jalen Ramsey going to Miami. One of the best 1-2 punches at cornerback position. Xavien Howard had a bit of a down year, but he's very, very talented. Jalen Ramsey, I still think, has a lot to offer. Man, the Miami practices with Howard and Ramsey against Waddle and Hill, they're going to be phenomenal to watch for the Miami beat reporters out there. But what do you make of the trades in the NFL over the weekend, particularly Carolina trading a lot of assets to move up to 1?
I liked the trade. I don't always feel like these trades could be wins for both sides, and quite often they're not. And we've seen the historical references, you know, what happened with the Bears, and they traded up.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting that guy, Mitch Trubisky. Wasn't very good. Not very good. Now, you know, whoever goes number one at the quarterback spot here for Carolina, there is a better player than Mitch Trubisky. I'm confident in that. It just depends if they make the right choice. So if Carolina nails the pick, I believe this is smart because they've been so hungry for somebody. I mean, we have desperately tried to talk ourselves into Sam Darnold and DFS weeks. And, oh, my God, he scored 5 rushing touchdowns to start the year a couple years ago. We'll do anything to try to get on the hype train for a Carolina quarterback, but it's just not taking. That last game of the season against the Saints was disgusting. It just kind of said it all. And they need a playmaker there. So as long as they get that playmaker, it's good. And then for Chicago, it's all gravy. Those are great assets to add to the collection. DJ Moore to Fields. This is such a huge revelation because I'm a Fields guy. I'm pro Fields. I watched him tear Michigan up at Ohio State, and now everyone's seen what he has done in the NFL with his legs. But that combo of the threat of him running with DJ Moore stretching the field, and then you got Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney, as you mentioned, a solid number 2. That is a really, really exciting offense. And there's going to be a lot of fantasy players jumping up to get involved with that Chicago offense in 2023, no matter what you think of the coaching staff or anything like that. These players can play, and they're going to put up points. And real quickly on the Dolphins, I'll say that they're just trying to add more to the left side, the other side. Mm-hmm. You got the offensive side is all set. The defensive side is where they just want to reinforce pieces. So Miami's just going to keep reinforcing everything they can on the defensive side to match their high-powered offense, and hopefully that takes them to the promised land.
And I really hope that Tua can stay healthy from just a health standpoint, obviously really rooting for this guy, and that he can stay on the field and he does maximize their full potential upside. But let's be honest, from a real NFL standpoint, it's pretty questionable, right, at the quarterback position and some of the health issues that he has had. And who knows what the future lies with Tua.
He could be in trouble. He really could be out trouble. There. He could be done there. I know there's been some wild rumors all over the place. Tom Brady, he's in trouble because we've seen it. It's too much damage to the head.
I know. Rooting for him for sure. And I think Miami's, I think they're definitely going to be involved in trying to get a backup quarterback in there. Somebody that can be a game manager. I don't think that they go the Jimmy G route. I don't know who's out there. I heard Baker to Tampa Bay, but somebody that has to, like, just a little bit of an upgrade over Teddy B or Skylar Thompson, right?
You don't think they develop Skylar more? In Buffalo.
Maybe.
They don't trust him a little bit more now?
It's possible. It's possible they could. I mean, he played some big games, you know, certainly into Buffalo. You know, he had some decent moments in that game in Buffalo. And if it wasn't for maybe the inexperience on the sidelines with the coaching staff, maybe they win that game in Buffalo. They were right there, dude, for sure. But Miami is really exciting. And what do you say to people that just take shots at Justin Fields? Like, he can't throw. Like, that is just so, I feel like it's so lazy. The guy's been in the league for a minute and he's really had nobody to throw the football to, again, with an inexperienced coaching staff as well on the side. Like, they're all going to learn here in year two. They got so much cap space. They're going to make noise through free agency. They're probably going to get a couple other pieces on the offensive line through the draft or maybe through free agency. I'm not ready to say it. I think it's just so lazy. I don't know why people do that.
Very lazy. It's amateur hour. That's what it is, though. We're the hot take era. We got to get the clicks. We got to get you to listen to us. So we'll say whatever we can, however we can say it, so that we can absorb your time and energy. And that's just the way it is. But we've seen Justin Fields throw beautiful deep bombs to guys like, you know, Pettis. You know, like, these are not game-changing receivers. I remember the opening game against San Francisco to start the year? Like, he threw that beautiful touchdown pass to Pettis, and they beat the Niners in week one, and they looked really good. Throwing the ball. So if Pettis can get open once out of every 10 deep bombs, and DJ Moore can get open 7 out of 10, 6 out of 10, that improves the odds that Justin Fields is going to be throwing for bigger chunks of yards in 2023. Just seems pretty clear to me.
Yeah, well said. Let's take a quick break and let's get into the baseball. I want to go over your team. You started Shohei and Soto. Whew, my goodness, what a start there from the 12th spot. Shohei and Soto. Also want to get into the Tigers, get into the White Sox, take a look at the AL Central. Lots here to get to on Mean Streets with Michael Govea. Keep her locked. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany and The Gove here with you, presented by So Rare. Smash the like button. You're watching on Game Plus Network. Hop on over. Subscribe to our FTN Network YouTube page. Any questions that you have here, maybe throughout the show, it's a college basketball question, or maybe it's a fantasy baseball question. Whatever it is, you can leave it there in the comment section. Always circling back on these videos to take care of you. And Govea is fantastic on Twitter as well. MJ Govea, if you have a question for him. And you tweeted out your team just the other day, a draft that you had over at NFBC. And you talked in the tweet, you mentioned that you intentionally wanted to draft at the back end to get a new perspective about the player pool in a main event. And what were your takeaways? As I mentioned, you started with Ohtani. And Soto, I think it's like as good as you can get really from the back end. Alcantara, Lindor, you got yourself a closer in the top five. What were some of your takeaways from a strategy standpoint? What kind of feel did you get from the back end of that draft?
Well, this was a Beat Govea OC 12-teamer, 5x5 roto. No trades on NFBC, of course. So I was thinking, since I had done three drafts already at the 1 or 2 spot, and those were all 15-teamers, I wanted to get a fresh set of eyes on a different angle. So that's why I chose the back end, and I was lucky enough that Shohei slid all the way to 12. I don't know what I missed here, because to me, Ohtani is one of my top three overall, regardless of format, for real. Mm-hmm. So these guys clearly disagree with me, and there's some guys that were in this league that are really, really good, that have won some huge money. So they know what they're doing. But to get Sandy Alcantara, which is my favorite starting pitcher in baseball, was another exciting point for me. And then, you know, Presley's a guy, as a closer, I wanted to get him because, though he may not be the most strikeout-heavy closer, the Astros are good. They're going to get wins. There's going to be a lot of save opportunities, and he's been that guy for them for a few seasons now. And to me, that's a safe play because I don't like taking closers early on in drafts anyways, because I just think there's always like Daniel Bard last year of the Colorado Rockies, not drafted anywhere, gets 30 saves easy. That happens not almost every year, but almost every year.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much. So the strategy was wait on pitching because I thought there'd be more opportunities if I get a couple guys early, and I did. I waited, and with Cortez, Webb, Alcantara, I was happy with those guys, and then I picked up on pitching later on with guys like Trevor Rogers, Eric Lauer. I think these are both two guys that are vastly underrated. Everyone's off Trevor Rogers last year in Miami because he had a really rough season. Year before that was a dominant pitcher. I'm taking the bet that that's who he was. He just had some injury issues and some command struggles in 2022. And then Eric Lauer just continues to slowly get better on a Brewers staff, which I love. Their pitching staff and their pitching coach, Chris Hook, is a master of pitching. And I want to be in business with Eric Lauer this year.
Yeah, I mean, he had a breakout season last year, right? Swinging strike percentage was there. It's a guy that we talked a lot about on this show from like a strikeout prop standpoint. He was, I mean, markets had him really low to start the season, and he was, you know, flirting with like double digit Ks here and there, depending on on the matchup, right? So I do like that pick as well. You took some flyers and some guys here, like Michael Conforto, Yoan Moncada, which maybe we'll save because, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about the White Sox. Manuel Margot, I thought, was a really nice late pick. You know, I think, you know, he can provide some sneakiness. You like that? You obviously like that pick. Maybe was he a target of yours? You have a couple late round targets. Did you seem to get some shares up with some of these drafts?
Yeah. Margot has been a guy drafted everywhere. He was slowly, I felt, starting to get to that almost to the tippy top of his prospect pedigree last year before he got a knee injury that slowed him down. So I'm just going to settle in with Margot one more time and trust the fact that he'll be healthy. He's 28 years old. He's in the prime of his career. He can steal bags. He can hit for a little power, not as much as we'd like, but actually more power than he showed last year. Remember, the dead ball last year really skewed a lot of things. I think it's important that we stop and remind ourselves of that. I don't buy the absolute devastation of power to be a permanent thing for 2023 necessarily. And again, I can't prove that, but that's my gut. That's my take on things. And then with him and Jake Fraley, those are two guys I'm always targeting later. I love Jake Fraley. You get to hit in a, this is such an easy ballpark to mash homers in and pick up a lot of offense. It has replaced Coors as the offensive environment you want to be in Cincinnati, a great American small park. So I love Fraley to get a lot of at bats this year. He could get on base and he can hit for a little bit of power and steal some bags.
Yeah, I love that. You have to include small park when you talk about
it's too easy.
American. It's too easy. You have to. You mentioned closers. I want to just transition into this and then we'll go over to the AL Central, because you said something that I think a lot of people, a lot of fantasy baseball people, maybe just getting their feet wet in high stakes, or maybe they've just played with their buddies in home leagues and head-to-head formats and they don't really play rotisserie leagues and they feel a little uneasy at the closer position. They don't feel like, oh my goodness, really? I mean, Edwin Diaz and Emmanuel Clase, these are guys that are the top two closers, you know, going off the board on average. And, you know, within like the first 20-25 picks, you know, people are picking them. They're aggressive in getting these guys. And you can look at a lot of teams and there's some committees out there. We don't know with some teams, like what are the White Sox doing in the closer position? Like for an example, you said you don't like to take closers early, and in a head-to-head format, I don't think you need to, right? It's really one category. You can be aggressive off the waiver wire. There's some contests over at NFBC. I mean, there's going to be no waiver wire stuff. You want to talk about the strategy and the importance of maybe getting a top 10 closer and maybe your strategy towards the end. I noticed you take some guys that maybe are not in the closer role right now, but could fall into saves a little bit later on. How important is it to get a top 10 closer, or maybe even to get a top 5 closer? Because, dude, as you know, in this format, rotisserie league, if you're not in the middle of the pack in saves, if you're in the bottom 4, I mean, you're not going to win. And that's what it's all about. You got to win. So you got to attack this position, correct? You have to try to find some saves.
You do. I don't disagree with you at all. That's the standard routine. You have to go get the guys who might get the most amount of saves. In this league, in this 12-team OC. Now, remember, an online championship does have an overall component, $150,000 overall prize. So if you want to compete for that, too, you definitely have to be more aggressive with closers. And I didn't do that, so maybe I'll just be happy to win this league because it is the Beat Govia OC. And more than anything, I don't want to lose. I just want to win this league. So, but the guy at the first spot, he took two closers at the second and third overall pick, wow. Diaz and Clase. And that blew us all away while we were doing the live stream for that, which we did over on the NFBC channel. It was really wild. And we're like, oh my gosh, that's really going for closers. And yeah, in Roto, you do need to make sure that you get those top guys because you don't want to fall down. If you get outside of stolen bases or saves in Roto format towards the bottom, it's really hard to dig out of that. I had that happen to me in one or two leagues last year with stolen bases and with saves. But actually, almost every league I did last year with this strategy, I was able to stay middle to upper in saves because, though, I found a guy like Daniel Bard. I mean, I had Daniel Bard on every team that I had on NFBC. So, yes, it's important to get those guys that are the trusted studs who will get a lot of save opportunities on good teams, but there's also so much variance with the jobs more than ever. The job has changed so much. So many committees and so many guys who, okay, he pitched 2 days, he's off, we'll go to our secondary closer. There are ways to fill in the gaps in fab leagues. Obviously, waiver wire is something you're going to have to need, because if you're in a drafted hold, you want to even go higher. I would do a Diaz Class A like he did in a drafted hold, because there's no way to add more closers later.
Yeah, I that's not for me. I could never do it. And who am I to judge? Maybe it works out, right? As you mentioned, draft and hold, I think it makes a lot more sense. But that's really tough to spend that kind of capital for me anyways. I'm not trying to sell your team short. I think you did it. I think you got Presley as a top 10 guy, could be a top 5 guy, right? And then you are aggressive. And I think being aggressive early, you know, through Fab and seeing some of the way that these bullpens may shape out, you can get your, like you said, right? You can fall into a guy off the waiver wire, maybe get you 30 saves.
We have no idea. We have no clue what's going to happen. We all think we do, and this ADP gets set up, and everyone's got their predictions, and some of them will hit, but a lot of things that will happen will be totally out of nowhere. The Taylor Wards of the world, the Spencer Striders of the world last year. Something wild's going to happen that we just did not predict, and there's going to be opportunities to fill voids that were previously seen as, I don't know if we can fill that categorical void because didn't expect something to happen, but it might happen. So
yeah, it's and risky. Some teams, too, like Seattle, Muñez, he's got nasty stuff. Is he better suited in a high leverage situation in the eighth inning? Seawald is the closer, but these guys will both be in save opportunities all year long, right? Things will happen.
Well, I took the guy at 30. My last pick was Jimmy Hergett of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, your team.
That's right.
And he had a nice finish last year, closing out games. Now, they brought in Carlos Estevez from Colorado, and I'm supposed to be shaking in my boots like, yeah, he's the guy who's going to be the dominant closer there. He's never was that guy in Colorado. So if Hergett pops at my last pick, my 30th pick, and I can get 25 saves out of him, that's what I'm looking for. That's how I'm trying to make my bank.
Yeah, and I love that pick. I took him in the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational pretty late as well, as a guy that I agree. Estevez has already struggled. He's not locked into the closer role. He'll give the benefit of the doubt opening day and things, but as we know, the Angels have had a massive rotation of closers over the past few years. Let's take another break and let's get into the AL Central. I really wanted to dive into that team, guys. So if you wanted to take a look at it, M. Govier on Twitter, and as well, he said, you know, you streamed the live stream through the draft, so you get the feel out process, get a feel of where some of these guys have gone, and hopefully we can do some of that stuff on our FTN Network YouTube page as well, because we still have a couple weeks left before opening day. So lots of exciting stuff happening. Vlad updated all of his projections and his rankings. The link inside this video, the description for the MLB draft kit. And my goodness, it is just loaded with all kinds of amazing content. You have your handprints on it as well. We'll be back in a couple. AL Central. We're going to take a look at the Tigers, the White Sox up at the top of the board as well. We'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Cheats here live on our FTN Network YouTube page, presented by So Rare. We got Michael Govier, Chris Meany here with you. I saw that you put the link inside the chat here in case people want to check it out. I'll also post it in the description of this video as well to go check it out if you guys want to. Let's get into the AL Central. We're not going to go through all of the teams, but I do want to get your thoughts overall on the division before we kind of break down the Tigers and the White Sox. The Cleveland Guardians are favored to win the division at plus 145. You see DraftKings at the bottom there. I actually went into the prop shop and just took the best number possible if you wanted to back some of these teams to win the division. I mentioned off the top of the show, we've seen some movement from the Twins. Like, their win total has jumped up from 81.5 to 83.5. They were like plus 350 to win the division. I don't know really if Carlos Correa was that big of a deal for the movement, but that's what we saw and what we've seen over the past couple of weeks. They check in at plus 240 with a win total of 83.5. The White Sox at 82.5 at plus 250. Then the Tigers and the Royals at the bottom. Detroit at 69.5, 32-1 to win the division. And the Royals at 68.5 their win total and 40-1 to win the division. Who do you like to win this division? Because I think you can make a case go for those top three teams. Any one of those teams, I would not be shocked if they won the division.
I really like the White Sox this year. I think getting rid of old stodgy, stuck in his old ways, TLR, Tony La Russa, is going to be a big boost to this squad. It's a new day. They were a playoff team before we got there. There's something went down. Again, these are the things we can't quantify that you can't go to StatCast and find a heat map on, right? What's going on in the clubhouse? How did they react to LaRusse's style? Was he out of date? Was there players from different cultural backgrounds who just didn't connect with him? Or who knows? Like, there's all these variables that I can't tell you for sure. But what I can tell you is the product on the field clearly suffered, and there was something going down there. So the fact that he left the way he did at the end of the season, said he had the heart thing, stepped away, never came back, and now it's a new day, I really think the White Sox are going to get back to business. That's why I've been buying big on a lot of White Sox, like Lucas Giolito. The fact that he's going like pick 130 around their ADP, I want him all day long. That's a guy who was a top 30 pick as a starter in recent seasons. So just think about that. And in the end, it still seems like maybe the Guardians are going to take this. It's going to be really tight between those top three, Chris. And I think the White Sox could sneak it out, but Cleveland is a little bit ahead of the game with their chemistry with Francona's ship that he's running there, that they might still take it.
Yeah, I mean, they got some underrated bats in their lineup. Everybody knows Jose Ramirez, but, you know, then they got some good pitching, good bullpen. They always seem to hang around, and they always seem to have one or two pitchers that kind of pop and, you know, have that breakout campaign year in, year out. I never liked the LaRusse signing. I didn't understand it to begin with. You said ahead of the time, man, dude was asleep last year in a game in the first inning. He was like this.
It was that bad. Inning.
Yeah, like, come on. You can't have your manager. Like, how do you feel as a young player when you look down the clubhouse and you see your manager asleep between the first, the bottom, top of the first and the bottom of the first, like going to commercial break? This guy's asleep. Like, are you kidding me? I never liked it to begin with. Let's dive into the White Sox a little bit more. You talked about the team. I like the odds, too. Again, I'm a sucker for this squad. 82.5 Central plus 250 to win the pennant. 17-1 World Series, 35-1. Jose Abreu is out of the lineup. He's been the leader of this squad, you know, a couple years removed from winning the MVP. He is now with the Houston Astros. The rich get richer. But Tim Anderson at top of the order has been a sneaky guy for me. I mentioned off the top, like, as a guy who's hit lefties really well over the past three seasons, give you some power and some speed, decent average. Luis Robert Jr., Eloy Jimenez. They bring in Andrew Benintendi, Yoan Moncada, right? He's been a little bit of a disappointment over the past couple of seasons. Andrew Vaughn has showed us, like, some upside. Fangraphs has him for, I think Steamer here has him for 26 home runs, which would be second on the team behind Eloy Jimenez, who I am a sucker for. He has Manny Grindal, Elvis Anders there. But the rotation, right? There's a lot of upside in the rotation. Quan, as we can transition into some of the assets and take a look at the ADP from NFBC. So you see here, what I have is, like, for example, the iTunes listeners here, Luis Robert Jr., outfielder 13 on average over the last 5 weeks over at NFBC drafts, ADP 45. And then you see some of the, like, Cease, Lynn, Giolito, Clevinger, Kopech. Like, they got some arms at the back end that have a little bit of upside in terms of strikeout. But you mentioned Lucas Giolito, man, on average, pick 147 here, pitcher 42. Like, he came out and said COVID really attacked him last year, like it did a lot of people. Man, I think it's terrific value, and I think he could be a top 25 pitcher, dude, in fantasy baseball.
Easy. He's going to be that guy. This is classic recency bias, and this is what I try to take advantage in drafts, is to see guys that 1 year prior, like a Jonathan India, he's fallen way down this year, but he was a top 80 pick last year. It's just like Giolito. It's the same thing for a lot of these White Sox players. I'm targeting almost all these guys except Lance Lynn that are on that list. I really am, because I think there's a bounce back there. And Luis Robert's a guy I took twice already in those earlier drafts I mentioned when I was in the 1 and 2 spot. I took him two times, and I took him way ahead ADP because this was a guy that was going to be a first-round pick if he had stayed healthy. That's the question, I know. Can he stay healthy? If he feels good and there's a new vibe in the clubhouse, I'm real excited about Robert having his best season to date. And with Giolito and all these guys, they're a real force. There was a growing surge coming out of the COVID bozo shortened season. That's what I call it, because it was just 2020. They did a season. It was really weird. At least we had some baseball, but it's no one goes back to 2020 and says, hey, let's take a look at the stats from that year so I can apply them to the future. Nobody does that. But I look at what they were on track to do. The White Sox want to get back to business, and there's so many guys in this lineup I want to get my hands on. Grandal alone is a guy who has a lot of power to offer, even if he was never great for Roto because he's more of an OBP guy. He gets on base at a high rate, tremendous walk rate. He still is going to be a value now because he's going in the 240s, 230s. He's going way down there, and you can get a good power bat, especially in two catcher leagues as a starter.
Yep. Yeah, I think he's a great target as a two catcher league. As you see, catcher 20 on average, 258. It's a good lineup. And when he's healthy, he is productive. I mean, you don't got to sell me on Luis Robert, right? This guy, unfortunately, we haven't seen him yet. Over 100 games, 401 plate appearances is the most he's ever played, and that was 2022. But he does have some power despite the fly ball rate coming down in each of the last two seasons. He does have some power, give you some speed, terrific hitter, great contact skills. And I'm in on Aloy too. I know people will say, no, he burned me before, he burned me last year, I'm not going to do it again, right? You always hear that in fantasy. It doesn't seem like there's terrific value with him because he hasn't been healthy over the past couple seasons, like going as pick 68, outfielder 18. But I think people are just really sharp on the upside, even though he won't provide any speed, as another guy that could have over 30 home runs, 35 home runs, and I would not be shocked. We got to get out of here and just break and get into your Tigers. But yes, oh, no, yeah. Cease. You're in on Cease too, because there seems to be like some people. It just like seems to be a divide when it comes to him.
I'm not against Cease. I haven't drafted him at all, but I'm not against him. What he's done and who he is. Yeah, he's legit. He's the real deal, but I'd rather just go with some other options later. But I believe his talent and the stats he's produced are all aligned in reality.
And what you have said earlier and looking at your team that you just drafted over the weekend or a few days ago, and something we've preferenced on the show, there are a lot of good starting pitchers that you can get between round 6 and 8 and 9. You're passing up on what it would be a really good bat at that point in the draft. And I think that's what I have to say when I really,
Eloy's one of them. I believe in Eloy. I've never liked Eloy ever. I finally am in on him. Ooh. This year. I am.
Yeah. All right, man. He's got such a sweet swing. We'll be back in a second. We're going to take a look at the Tigers. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. Let's take a look at the Detroit Tigers last year. Dead last in runs, dead last in homers, second worst WOBA, 69.5 the win total. I don't mean to bring you down, Gove. Just giving you the stats here. AL Central, 32-1. How about to win the pennant? 100-1, 200-1 to win the World Series. They may not be there yet, but man, they do have some nice young pieces as we can transition into some of the players that are getting drafted inside the first 200, 300 picks here. Javier Baez is the first Tiger off the board, shortstop 19, pick 166 on average. How about Riley Green, a former fifth overall pick? Got some power, got some speed. What did you make of his rookie season? And what do you think he'll show us in year number two?
There's a big debate in the fantasy community about Riley Green's ability to steal bag, because his actual speed, his time to first base, it's not that great. He doesn't fly off the bags. But with the way the game is looking to change this year, the rule changes, there's a lot of talk about a lot more stolen bases will be available to everybody because you limit pickoff moves and you got that pitch clock and it's just going to frazzle pitchers, blah, blah, blah. So, I think it's possible that Riley could steal 10 this year. And his power is totally legit. Don't forget, one of the key storylines, if we're talking Detroit Tigers baseball in 2023, is the changes to the fences. That's a huge story here. Comerica Park, yeah, they made changes to the right field fences. Center field was brought in a tad, and there was a lowering of the right center field fence just so that Riley Green can rob more home runs, by the way. I truly believe that. The problem is, though, when you lower that fence and you give him a chance to rob more dongs, you actually increase the ability of fly balls to just go right over that wall. So,
yeah, we got, I love Riley too. And I think people were just like, expectations are super high when it comes to high prospects. And people were talking about him quite a bit in drafts and maybe they're disappointed. But don't be like this guy. I think he could get to 10 stolen bases as well. The bat has him for 9, 15 homers for zips. I think he can flirt with 20. I think there's a couple guys on this list that can flirt with 20. Javier Baez, of course, has done it before. Austin Meadows, 20. Torkelson, 20. Is there a name other than Riley Green that you like, that you want some shares of? I saw that you drafted Rodriguez, E-Rod, there in your draft the other day.
Yeah, I took a shot there. The guy we need to really focus on is Austin Meadows. What will he be? Can he return to the 25 home run guy at least? Because last year was a lost year for him. He's depressed. He had mental health issues. I understand that as well as anybody, and I'm always empathetic of that. But there was also the vertical issue. Is vertigo a problem for him? He's there in camp, hasn't hit a home run yet. His brother Parker Meadows, who is really, really good too, a guy to keep an eye on who could get called up sooner than later. He's crushing the ball in spring. I don't think that means that Parker Meadows is going to come out of camp with the Tigers, but Austin Meadows is the guy here that I'm really, really wondering, can he return to just being an average major leaguer or not? Because Spencer Torkelson's still young. He's got some years to prove if he could be decent, but it's do or die time really for Austin Meadows.
Yeah, and he's shown us before, right? Like, really good ball player and good fantasy asset as well. As a guy that can touch a lot of categories for
you. Top 10 pick in the draft he came out in. He was.
And is he going to be everyday cleanup guy for Detroit?
I mean, if he's ready to go, they're going to give it a shot. But I don't know if that's going to stick, because if he doesn't hit, they got to make someone else slide into that four spot. And a guy that's not on this list I really like and want to mention is Kerry Carpenter. He came up last year, hit 6 home runs in a very limited sample size. He's a youngster, a lefty guy. They need more left-handed hitters, and he's out of Virginia Tech. He's hit a ton of home runs in the minor leagues last year. He can hit for contact, too. I think he's a sneaky batting average guy in deeper 15-team leagues and beyond, but a guy that's going to be on the major league roster who could probably provide more than we realize.
Yeah, 30 combined bombs in AA and AAA in 2022. A little bit of power there as well. Sneaky, I'm glad you brought him up. Sneaky little sleeper for those in deeper formats. We got about a minute here. Can you just touch on the staff? You mentioned you took a shot on Erod. Matthew Boyd had a fantastic season a couple years ago. Michael Lorenzen's on the squad. He's basically a contact guy. Matt Manning, contact. Spencer Turnbull, I've played him in DFS. I've taken some strikeout props on him as well. Is there an arm that maybe you can sell us on here?
Well, I want to sell you on Joey Wentz. Joey Wentz has been a hell and back with a ton of injuries, but he's healthy now. Went to the Arizona Fall League real quick last year as one of the older players, but he continues to show, and that's a guy that I used in DFS late in season last year, Mr. Wentz. Alex Blickle knows what I'm talking about. So I like Joey Wentz to be a guy who should be in this rotation. Remember, Spencer Turnbull's coming off TJ surgery, so we got to see what he can be now, but he's fully healthy and should be a guy that's ready to rock this year. I like both those guys. Can't stand Lorenzen. Really worried about Matt Manning taking a step back this year, and Boyd is just like, whatever. There's better arms I'd rather have in here.
Manning and Boyd are guys, even Lorenzen, guys that I've picked on in DFS quite a bit. Dude, you're fantastic. Honestly, I know I've told you that so many times, but love your energy. I love the work ethic that you have, and I appreciate you taking the time here to jump on and roll through some of these teams. I know you're super busy, and I'd love to get you back on again, whether it's before baseball season, just before, or during the excitement of the first week as well. He's going to do a lot of great content for us with the Prize Picks Prop Show and all kinds of fantasy baseball weekly articles over at ftmfantasy.com. So make sure you are subbed, and we appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everybody. Love seeing you, Chris.
All right, we'll say goodbye to Govea, MJ Govea on the Twitter machine. I got a couple NHL picks here to wrap up Mean Streets, presented by So Rare. Back in a couple. Welcome back in. I got a couple NHL props here for you. Going to lead with Evan Rodriguez of the Colorado Avalanche. A recent boost to the top line with Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. A fantastic matchup against the Canadiens here. Minus 102 at FanDuel for a point. He does have points in 3 of his last 5 games. Over 2.5 shots at minus 125 as well. He has cleared it in 2 of his last 3 games as well. He's got 10 shots on goal over those 3 games. So I really like the Avs tonight. I know I'm not breaking any news here. I do like him on the puck line. As we can transition into a couple other picks here, I got him at minus 106 to win by 2 goals. No team has allowed more goals at 5-5 per 60 since February 1st than the Buffalo Sabres. The Leafs have 11 goals in 2 meetings against the Sabres this season. I think Austin Matthews is going to pick up an apple here at minus 130. Rupe Hintz over 2.5 shots. This guy is absolutely hot fire. 9 goals over his last 8 games. He just played Seattle. He had 3 shots and a goal. In fact, that top line for Dallas led all lines in shot attempts with 16, shots with 7, scoring chances with 10, and high danger chances with 4. It was Pavelski who led the way in terms of shot attempts and scoring chances, but Rupe Hintz was fantastic in that game as well. He's got a point all the way. He's got a 9-game point streak heading into tonight, so I do like him. I got a parlay there with Nathan MacKinnon over 4.5 shots and Michael Matheson, who continues to log heavy minutes for the Habs. And Oliver Bjorkstrand was really good in that game as well against the Dallas Stars. It's sneaky good. In fact, he's just a little bit too juiced for 2.5 shots. So I put him in the parlay there with Matheson. Excuse me, I got Marner with Nathan MacKinnon, then Matheson with Oliver Bjorkstrand. He had an impressive 13 shot attempts, 8 shots, 4 scoring chances for Bjorkstrand and company. Jaden Schwartz included in those numbers as well against the Dallas Stars. Good luck on the ice. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.